Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In studio with Jen and friends this morning, we have one of my dear friends, Madison James, who you hear right here on Star 94.1 all the time. And Madison, I want to put you in the spotlight right now because
that's not necessary.
Your dedication and giving back to women who are fighting against breast cancer, have survived breast cancer, and preventing against it is really tremendous. You've been dedicated in this community for a really long time, and you have something special coming up.
Yes, I am so proud to be on Dr. Rylan Gore's team.
Woo!
Dr. Rylan Gore is in here. Also, Aaron Nixon's in here for the big American Cancer Society Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk. And I've met Dr. Gore like almost
2 years.
Girl, we going on 2 years. We got to celebrate. two years ago. And we just kind of connected. And her passion and what you're doing out here is just amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about your background.
So my name is Dr. Rylan Gore, everybody. I'm a breast surgical oncologist. So my whole job is to take care of women who have benign and malignant breast disease. And I'm the person who's in charge of surgical management. So I'm usually one of the first stops when a patient gets a new breast cancer diagnosis or if they feel something a little funky in their breast and they're worried about it. Most primary care physicians just aren't comfortable with breast disease, and so I usually see those patients and follow them. And not just people who have a diagnosis, but patients who have a very strong family history of breast cancer, or maybe they know they have a genetic mutation. I'm your girl. I'm the person you come see.
So, Dr. Gore, I want to get into the walk because we want our Star 94.1 friends to sign up and be a part of this with you guys.
Yes.
But first of all, tell us about early detection. What do every single one of us women need to be doing?
First of all, a very common question, a patient says, well, should I be checking my own breasts every month or every other month or whatever? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's unreliable. And in fact, the American Cancer Society does not recommend breast self-examinations. But one thing I do tell my patients is, you need to know the general lay of the land. So just know how it feels. They're yours. It's okay to touch them. But just know what's going on so that when something abnormal pops up. So all of a sudden, maybe that nipple is pulled in, or maybe you're noting some drops of blood or whatever in your bra, and that wasn't present a few months ago. It's important to pay close enough attention to know that those things are going on. But most primary care physicians, when you're getting your yearly physical examination, if they're doing a thorough physical examination, they're going to feel for those things. And so should the everyday woman just know what's going on? No, because most of us young women, your breasts are dense. They change. Depending on how those hormones are working, it's going to feel very different. So it's very unreliable. Get your mammograms. Get your mammograms. It's very important. Early detection means, guess what? Increased chance for a cure, right? So American Cancer Society recommends that between the ages of 40 and 44, have a discussion with your physician about it. You may not have to get one. We'll talk about some exceptions to that rule. Starting from 45 to 54, you should be getting this done every single year, no exceptions. And then as you get older in age, you can move greater than 55, you can go to every other year. That's the recommendation from the American Cancer Society. And then those older women, you're 75, 80 years old, if you have a life expectancy that's around 5 to 10 years, then yeah, maybe you should still get it, but it may be okay to stop those when you're a little bit older.
Dr. Gore, I almost said like Rylan, but we're friends like
that's
that. But I like to give you your props, Dr. Gore.
Thank you.
Can
I worked so hard for him.
Girl, you did. can we talk about, too, what should you do? Because we've noticed a lot of women, especially Aaron's in here today, are getting diagnosed earlier, so they don't meet that 40-year I won't use the word cutoff, but 40-year time frame to get your mammograms. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about that? What do you do if you have family history? Like, what do you do about that?
Good question. If you have a strong family history, because there are plenty of people where every single woman in the family gets breast cancer, but they actually get genetic testing done and lo and behold, it's negative. There's still a role for early screening in those patients. And so usually you'll start your screening about 10 years before the youngest family member. So say mom got breast cancer at 40 years old. You should start getting checked out around 30. Now, you can come up with a plan with your physician, and you may not get screened every year, but every other year, or maybe just get something that has no radiation exposure, like an ultrasound. But you should come up with a plan with your provider about what to do. Certainly those that have a genetic mutation, I have quite a few men and women in my practice who are BRCA positive. They have other genetic mutations that just increase their risk. Mm-hmm. Like majorly. And so those patients are usually getting screened every 6 months. We go back and forth between mammogram and ultrasound and MRI just to ensure that if something pops up, we're catching it early. The whole BRCA thing, that's a whole other discussion, because I think everybody knows we have Angelina Jolie as one of our prime examples of the BRCA mutation. We have Matthew Knowles, Beyonce's dad,
who just came out.
With the breast cancer diagnosis, and he's also BRCA2 positive. And so the rules change from that regard, and I find that a lot of my patients, when they have a genetic mutation, they choose to go ahead and get prophylactic mastectomies because the lifetime risk is so high that they don't want to risk it.
And that's the smartest decision for them?
Usually. Yeah. Usually. I have a handful, you know, people are funny, and I have a handful of patients who are like, what? You gonna take my breast? I think not. And they just get their screening every 6 months. And so at the end of the day, I tell patients, whether they are a mutation carrier or not, it's a very personal decision, and you got to do what works for you, but make sure you're coming up with a plan in concert with other professionals and not by yourself, and make sure you're getting the appropriate surveillance.
Dr. Gore, we got to talk about breast implants because, you know, nobody wants to say that they got them, but they got them, right?
Like, sometimes you can see them, but that's another story.
A lot of women have them, and I know that that can make it harder for when you're doing yourself breast exams and checking on things. Like, if you have implants, are you at any greater risk, or should you do anything differently?
So, if you have implants, you should still get your mammograms. And I have a lot of people who come in, they haven't had mammograms in like 5-10 years because they're so scared of popping those implants. Tell us, it's okay. Do you know how many boobs I see in a day? Like, it really is okay. So tell us that you have implants, and we have different maneuvers we can use while you're getting your mammogram to move that implant out the way and decrease the risk of it getting ruptured when your breast is getting smushed between those two plates. But one thing that does make it easier, most women, their implants are behind the pectoralis muscle, behind that chest wall muscle. And so it kind of just scoots all that breast tissue forward, and so you can see it a little bit easier. And for patients who like love to check out their breasts and make sure nothing new pops up, all that breast tissue is again pushed forward, and so they can feel masses a little bit easier. And I've had quite a few women with breast cancer who have implants who have found their own cancers. So
wow.
And the walk on the 26th,
yes.
Tell us about your team. What the name of your team is? Is it Tim's Angels?
Yeah, Tim's Angels against breast cancer. We're walking on Saturday, October 26th at Centennial Olympic Park. I'm very, very excited to be, you know, the event lead for this amazing event. I have quite a few patients who are also going to walk on my team with me, so I'm very excited. But all of this is to raise awareness and raise money for the American Cancer Society. And the difference between this race and, say, Relay for Life or whatever, is that this whole walk, everything is dedicated just to breast cancer. So we're raising money for research. We're raising money for the Hope Lodge. We provide lodging for patients who need help. They need somewhere to go while they're getting treatments. The American Cancer Society also provides rides, mentorship, so many valuable tools that somebody who's going through a breast cancer diagnosis and treatment needs. So this is something I believe in and something I'm so excited to be a part of. But, you know, volunteer, donate, whatever you can do, pass out some water. We don't care. We just want to see your faces in the building. And my team is named Tim's Angels Against Breast Cancer. I named it for my father. He passed suddenly at the end of June, but he was so excited about the walk when I told him about it. And so this is one of my ways of honoring him. And so I'm very excited.
That's a beautiful tribute. That is a beautiful tribute. I love
that.
Thank you. And Madison, tell us, why does this cause connect to you so much? Because I know you've been involved for years.
Yes, and it connects to me because, you know, we have these platforms and we're out here seeing women. I feel like it affects everyone. Mm-hmm. So let me make that clear. Breast cancer
Facts. Does
not discriminate, as we see with Matthew Knowles. It affects men and affects
women.
One
in eight, y'all.
Thank you.
One in eight women.
But I wanted to show more of women like Erin who are getting diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's going to share a little bit about her story here in a second. I feel like we're not getting a good representation of that. So mm-hmm. when you're seeing women who are 28, 30, 35, I have a friend that's 35 and she's a five-year survivor.
Wow. She
looks like me. I'm a woman of color. She looks like me. She's healthy. She's working out. And sometimes we tend to think that cancer in general, because cancer does not discriminate, mm-hmm. that it only affects individuals that may look sick or may be from a certain demographic or a certain income bracket. That is not the case. It is affecting everybody. So mm-hmm. if I can use platforms to highlight and give a different face to show, you know, it's impacting these individuals as well, and then highlight even, you know, friends. I got the dopest friends ever. Dr. Gore. I just play on the radio. All my friends do all this other great stuff. Dr. Gore, who is a young breast surgeon who's in there in the fight making things happen. So if we can highlight that, then that's what it's about, bringing awareness.
And I do want to turn to Erin and hear about your story. You are a survivor.
I am. I'm almost, I believe, 10 years survivor at this point.
Amen.
Woo, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
So brave of you to share your story. So when were you diagnosed and how did you know you had breast cancer?
Sure. So I was diagnosed a few months shy of my 24th birthday.
Wow.
I was living in Florida at the time, finished college, was, you know, going to be the best social worker in the world, and then got it in my head that, you know, I'm going to move back home and figure some things out. Ironically enough, within a month of being back home, my mother reminded me that, well, since you don't have a job anymore, you need to get some insurance. And with this new Obamacare, I can put you back on my plan. And I've already scheduled you an appointment. So I said, well, great. Thanks, Mom. Taking care of me still. And about a week before my appointment, feeling around, noticed a small lump. And I said, well, it's probably nothing. And I'm going to the doctor anyway. I'll just bring it up when we get there. So during my exam, she also noticed the lump. And like most young women here, your breasts are dense, they're lumpy when you're that age. It's probably nothing. But the one difference with my physician is that she said, let's do a mammogram just to make sure. Scheduled the mammogram. And then at that point, they said, well, we do see something. It's probably nothing, though. Let's do a biopsy just to confirm. And at this point, I hadn't told any of my family that I'd had one potentially scary visit, and then a follow-up, and then another follow-up. So I'm doing all of this, trying not to alert them. And I remember getting the call on a Friday afternoon, and they said, well, we have your results from the needle core biopsy. We'd like you to come in, and can you bring someone with you? I said, oh,
and you're like, uh-oh.
Shoot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at that point, I had to call my mother and say, guess what? I need you to leave work now and come with me. And I explained everything to her over 5 minutes. And they sat me down and said, I'm so sorry. The results are that you do have breast cancer. And there's nothing we can do right at this moment. It's almost 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Go home, spend some time with your family. We've already got some referrals set up for you, and we'll take it from there on Monday. So I went home and called my brother to come get me some ice cream and locked myself in the room for a little bit. Because from there, it was just a flood of friends and family all coming to the house, and I was still just trying to process
everything.
I'm 24. Right. I was planning on going out of town, you know, in a couple of weeks and partying, and now you're telling me I have cancer. So from there, it was a whirlwind. I feel like we went on autopilot, but thankfully and prayerfully, I had an amazing care team.
Awesome.
And everyone doesn't have that. You know, there's oftentimes gaps in between the time of when a woman is initially diagnosed and then when she sees anyone following up about that. But immediately I had referrals from my surgeons and my oncologists and plastic surgeons, and I just kind of sat there and said, I'm here, dude, do what you got to do. And being, I'd say being young, I was still a little vain in that I didn't initially want to lose my breasts, but I wanted to live. So we tried for a lumpectomy the first time to try and basically get all the cancer out and get clear margins. And that was unsuccessful. So we went in again and tried to get the rest of the little tendrils out, and that wasn't successful. And they said, well, we can keep trying as often as you want, but when we try to reconstruct it, it might be a little difficult since we've started taking away so much of this tissue. Would you consider a mastectomy? I was like, I don't know about that, but let me sleep on it. And a couple days later, I gave them the call and said, I want to do the mastectomy, but I want you to take both. Make them both look nice and even and perky, and then we'll start fresh.
Exactly.
Because it's hard to match your natural breasts to the implant. And again, I'm 24. I'm like, and I live in Florida.
Yeah.
I want my bikini to look nice. So we took both of them, gave me a nice new set, and then started on the chemo. And that was, I mean, almost everything you'd expect of chemo, but you just plug through it. And now, 10 years or so later, I'm working at the American Cancer Society.
Full circle.
Incredible. It's full circle.
What stage were you diagnosed?
Now, the funny thing is, a lot of that stuff is a complete blur to me.
Okay.
You can ask my husband, and he will tell you everything about it. I'm like, two, I think. What I do remember is that there was no lymph node involvement, so that was a positive. My tumor was estrogen sensitive or positive, so it fed on that. But that's helpful because then we know how to suppress it. So then I went on a estrogen blocking medicine for 5 years, at tamoxifen, which, that's a whole nother story. But did that, and now one of the other things that I don't think people really consider for younger patients is fertility and life afterwards.
That's a whole nother
subject
conversation,
you know,
that I think now is getting more attention, because there are individuals, you're so focused on
getting through it
and you're not told, well, we may need to save some of your eggs because
but you have to find, you know, time out for these old surgeons who still do things, these old doctors who do things that they did in the 1950s. It is a new day, and I think it's so important, especially I have so many young people in my practice, that this is one of the first things I bring up. Have you had the kids that you want to have? And if not, let's figure that out before you start your treatment, because the chemo will kill it. The tamoxifen will kill it. All these other things that we do will absolutely destroy it. And I have friends who have been through this journey, and they want children so badly, and they just, they can't do it. And nobody had that discussion with them. And time out for that in 2019 going into 2020.
Agreed.
You know?
And
time out for not offering reconstruction. Time out for not offering all of these things that make a woman still feel like a woman. Period.
Yeah, and for me, I would say I've never been so happy to finally get my period back after chemo. Because it's like, whoa, I can have a baby. You know, I legit cried a little bit because it's, well, while you're thinking about living and then also thinking about harvesting an egg, which insurance does not cover unless there's some secrets I don't know about. But for mine, it wasn't covered. So also shell out some thousands of dollars to say
that's that, getting better. Too.
That was just not, it was not a realistic option at the time. So I'm like, you know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Yeah. And then lo and behold, one day, you know, Mother Nature worked. And now I have an almost 5-year-old son.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
So Erin, if somebody were diagnosed today and listening to you, give them your top couple pieces of advice.
Ooh, let's see. Give yourself the grace that you would extend to anyone else going through it. I think we always want to love and support on our friends and family when we know that they're going through something, but it's hard to accept that for yourself. So let yourself pout or cry or be angry and know that all of that is completely acceptable and understandable. Find something that's going to make you happy in the midst of all of that. I probably should eat healthier, but
yours is ice
cream. I also love junk food. So ice cream and French fries was my thing. Yeah. I literally would leave chemo and then go and sit in the backyard and
in moderation, eat, y'all.
In moderation.
Rylan,
you know.
That's not the time for that. No, moderation doesn't count.
She deserves the ice cream and the fries.
I needed it.
And
whatever
and
she wants.
I needed it.
And
I'd say lastly, just knowing that you will need some source of motivation, and that might change day to day.
Yeah.
One day it's like, you know what? My parents need me. I'm going to fight and tough through this. And then the next day it might be like, I want to go out of town on a girls' trip, so let me tough through this chemo this week, and then we'll revisit it later. Or this isn't the life I expected. Like, I want to get married and have a baby, so I'm going to tough through it. But that motivation changes, and you have to constantly find something to pull you through when it gets difficult, because there are difficult days.
That's beautiful. I love that. I know that that's going to connect with somebody and change somebody's life today. You shared that. And it's so brave that you've turned your life around to support people and to give back and to find cures. So I know you've got to be a part of the walk that's coming up.
I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. But one thing that's a little different from my role is that I'm leading up the Real Men Wear Pink effort. And so
awesome.
We're partnering with Grady Health System this year to really shine a light on the men that are somewhat the silent soldiers in this fight against breast cancer. You know, I had the support of my father and my brothers and my husbands, but at the time you only focus on the women. So this is our chance to give men their rightful claim in this fight. And they are tasked with a few things throughout the month of October. They have to commit to raising at least $10,000.
Wow.
Wear pink every day. And then also be able to speak about our mission, our resources. There's the Hope Lodge, where we provide free lodging for patients that, you know, they live 40 or more miles away from their treatment facility. We don't want them missing out on their treatment because they can't afford a hotel room. So being able to arm our men with knowledge of the resources that they're raising money for is part of their other charge. So they've gotten creative with the ways that they're raising money. We have dinners around town and just really actually lots of eating now that I think about it. Everyone, what else do we have? Just
hopefully
lots of dinner
fries and ice cream involved for you.
Food, bake sales at their job, you know, raffling off parking spots, you know, because parking is, you know, a big deal here in Atlanta. It's a premium. So we're excited. We are climbing for that number one spot in the nation. We are inches behind another Real Men campaign in the country, so we're trying to get back to number one, but at the end of the day it's all about raising the most funds that we can to support women like
definitely.
Me
definitely. All right, Madison, so how can everybody sign up and join you guys on the walk?
Well, I'll let Dr. Gore take that.
Go to www.makingstrideswalk.org/ y'all, Atlanta.
Okay.
And sign up for the walk. From there, you can join a team. Y'all can join my team.
Join
if you
our
want
team.
To.
We want to see
but
you guys.
But you can
join
a team. You can make your own team. You can donate. You can figure out how to get plugged in for volunteering. It's all there on the website, and it's very easy to navigate.
And we'll make sure it's up at star941atlanta.com. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, and I know you know somebody who's been diagnosed, who's had a fight, who has a story.
Yes.
Come on out and support them in your efforts this weekend.
And everybody can walk.
That's right.
Yes.
I don't
have
to walk.
Run,
do I?
Like, you don't have to run.
You don't even have to run. You can hang out.
You can hang out. You can sign up and hang out.
Like at Centennial Olympic Park. It's not 100 degrees anymore, y'all. It's going to be a nice, lovely day full of just hope and love and support for all the breast cancer survivors and all of those who are very close to that, whether it's you were a caretaker or your mom was whatever. I think there's a role for everybody there. This is something that hits very close to home.
And we got to do more than wear pink ribbons, right?
Absolutely.
We got to get out there, we got to fundraise, and we got to put our money where our mouth is, right?
Yes,
365 days a year, not just 1 month to fight
right.
that.
Right.
And to that point, for those that don't know, the American Cancer Society has a 24-hour a day hotline free for you to call. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you need someone to talk to about a side effect, call our hotline, 1-800 ACS 2345. So if you need a ride to your treatment, call that number. If you have a friend that needs a place to stay, call that number.
That's incredible. What is it one more
1-800-ACS-2345.
And we'll make
24
sure
hours a day
to share it online. Perfect. And share it on all of our social
Absolutely.
Media too. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank
Dr.
You,
Laura,
ladies.
Erin,
for Madison.
You. You guys
thank
are
you.
Amazing heroes. Thank you.
Thank
Superwomen.
Yes, we are.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.